You and Lady Sybil? Oh, being married to Sybil is fine, fine, said Vimes hurriedly. It's the Duchess bit I don't like. Where is everyone tonight? Corporal Littlebottom's on pigeon duty. Detritus is on night patrol with Swires, and Angua's on special duty in the shade, sir. You remember, with Nobby. Oh, gods, yes. Well, when they come in tomorrow, you'd better get them to report to me. Incidentally, get that bloody wig off Nobby and hide it, will you? Vimes leafed through the paperwork. I've never heard of the low king of the dwarfs. I thought that king in dwarfish just meant a sort of senior engineer. Ah, well, the low king is rather special, said Carrot. Why? Well, it all starts with a scone of stone, sir. The what? Would you mind a little detour on the way back to the yard, sir? It'll make things clearer. The young woman stood on a corner in the shades. Her general stance indicated that she was, in the specialised patois of the area, a lady-in-waiting. To be more precise, a lady-in-waiting for Mr. Wright, or at least, Mr. Wright Amount. She idly swung her handbag. This was a very recognisable signal for anyone with the brains of a pigeon. A member of the Thieves' Guild would have passed carefully by on the other side of the lane, giving her nothing more than a gentlemanly and above all non-aggressive nod. Even the less polite freelance thieves who lurked in this area would have thought twice before eyeing the handbag. The Seamstresses' Guild operated a very swift and non-reversible kind of justice. The skinny body of Dunnett Duncan, however, did not have the brains of a pigeon. The little man had been watching the bag like a cat for fully 5 minutes, and now the very thought of its contents had hypnotised him. He could practically taste the money. He rose on his toes, lowered his head, dashed out of the alley, grabbed the bag and got several inches before the world exploded behind him and he ended up flat in the mud. Something right by his ear started to drool, and there was a long, very long drawn-out growl, not changing in tone at all, just unrolling a deep promise of what would happen if he tried to move. He heard footsteps, and out of the corner of his eyes saw a swirl of lace.
"Oh, done it," said a voice. "Bag snatching, that's a bit low, isn't it, even for you? You could have got really hurt." "Oh, it's only Duncan, miss. He'll be no trouble. You can let him up."
The weight was removed from Duncan's back. He heard something pad off into the gloom of an alley.
I done it,
said the little thief desperately as Corporal Nobbs helped him to his feet.
"Yes, I know you did. I saw you," said Nobby. "And you know what would happen to you if the Thieves' Guild spotted you? You'd be dead in the river with no time off for good behaviour."
"They hate me because I'm so good," said Duncan through his matted beard. "Here, you know that robbery at Old Jolson's last month? I done that."
"That's right, Duncan, you done that."
"And at all at the Gold Vaults last week? I done that too. It wasn't Coalface and his boys."
"No, it was you, wasn't it, Duncan?"
"And that job at the Goldsmiths that everyone says Crunchy Ron done?"
"You done that, did you?"
"That's right," said Duncan.
"And it was you what stole fire from the gods too, wasn't it, Duncan?" said Nobby, grinning evilly under his wig.
"Yeah, that was me."
Duncan nodded. He sniffed.
"I was a bit younger then, of course."
He peered short-sightedly at Nobby Nobbs.
"Why have you got a dress on, Nobby?"
"It's ash, Duncan."
"Ah, right."
Duncan shifted uneasily.
"You couldn't spare me a bob or two, could you, Nobby? I ain't eaten for 2 days.
Small coins gleamed in the dark.
"Now push off," said Corporal Nobbs. "Thanks, Nobby. You got any unsolved crimes, you know where to find me."
Duncan lurched off into the night. Sergeant Angua appeared behind Nobby, buckling on her breastplate.
"Poor old devil," she said.
"He was a good thief in his day,"
said Nobby, taking a notebook out of his handbag and jotting down a few lines.
"Kind of you to help him," said Angua.
"Well, I can get the money back out of petty cash," said Nobby. "And now we know who did the bullying job, don't we? That'll be a feather in my cap with Mr. Vimes."
"Bonnet, Nobby."
"What?"
"Your bonnet, Nobby. It's got a rather fetching band of flowers around it."
"Oh, yeah."
"It's not that I'm complaining," said Angua, "but when we were assigned to this job, I thought it was me who was going to be the decoy and you who was going to be the backup, Nobby."
"Yeah, but what were you being..."
Nobby's expression creased as he edged his way into unfamiliar linguistic territory. "More..."